peace, harmony, happiness throughout the world. That's any day is the right day to celebrate that stuff. But happy holidays to you all. Hope you guys are all out there doing well with your friends, your family. I've got an out-of-the-box show that's, well, we're going to cover some different grounds here. First off, we will talk with Isabel Storch, who is a community member who took the time to do a little pen to paper and drafted a letter to the editor that got printed in the Garden Island newspaper. It was a little while back. It relates to the Bill 2491. Of course, we're not going to let that one just rest right away. We're in the month of December. That's right. 2013 is pretty much POW. We've got three full weeks, four kind of weeks. You know, a year ago, we were all contemplating the end of the world. The calendar was coming to a crash. What was going to happen after 2012? Well, we're finding out. We're finding out it's here upon us. And like I said, 11 months POW already. We got one more to go. We are looking at 2014 before we know it. A lot of things going on around our beautiful Garden Island this weekend. We have Waipaw Festival, Kalo Festival in Waipaw on Saturday. We also have Lights on Rice. It's a Christmas parade, so that's Friday night. Got a bunch of different groups that are going to be walking and presenting. I got a phone call right now, so I'm going to take that one on, see if I can get you on the phone. Aloha, caller, you are on the air live with Jimmy Trujillo and Out of the Box. Did I get you? How about now? Did it work?
Hey, you got me now.
Oh, right on.
Hey, Jimmy.
Aloha, Auntie, how are you?
I am just Mai ka iloa.
Mai ka ia, and happy holidays to you.
Happy holidays. I am looking forward to this weekend as well because of the Waipa Festival.
Mm-hmm.
Not only is that a lot of fun, but it's an opportunity for the community to come together. And Kauai Alliance is inviting people that are attending the Waipa festivities and other people on the North Shore to come out and check out the Shift Change film. This is a wonderful documentary on how to put cooperatives together for a really successful financial support for the island. It's a very, it's the kind of thing that really brings the community together and makes us truly sustainable. And we don't have to rely on as much on outside sources and resources. So I just wanted to invite everybody to the film. It's going to be at the Waipa Foundation, which is over on the Malka side from where the festival is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And it will the film actually starts at 6:30, and I know that the festivities actually end around 5 or 5:30, but we'll have information over there and opportunities for people to talk one-on-one and maybe do a little networking. Of course, the Poi Mill and the, you know, the Kalo farmers are perfect example of what we could do, you know, with a cooperative situation.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, there are a lot of other things, you know, on the island that would be much more economical for everybody and provide jobs. And the first thing I think of is the west side and getting, you know, those people that are concerned about losing their jobs if something shifted in the chemical seed companies over there.
Mm-hmm.
This, you know, this provides the foundation for people to actually come together and make more money. The film itself is based on the Mondragon system, which is an area in Spain. And they basically started out as a small little area with one major industry that pulled roots and left town. And so they had nothing. So what they did was they came together, formed cooperatives, and now they are the 10th largest employer in all of Spain. So, I mean, it's a fabulous opportunity. And as I said, the film starts at 6:30. It's free. There's plenty of information over there and networking to be done. So I'm really excited about it.
And this is on Saturday, December the 7th, I believe. Now, tell us a little bit about the Kauai Alliance for Peace and Social Freedom, Social Justice.
Social Justice. We're a local organization we're sort of organized. We're a local disorganization. But we have come together with a common intention of supporting people, educating ourselves and other people here on the island about what the possibilities for social justice is. And we do a lot of films. We did the War on Whistleblowers film. We did the Ghosts of Jeju film. And these are things that we feel that if the community can focus on how to come together and act locally, it has a huge ripple effect out into the rest of the planet. And of course, you know, the thing that's going on over on the west side is certainly an indication of how global things are and how important we can be as an island in interacting. So, Kauai Alliance is a lot of your local neighbors, and we're a growing organization. And as I said, our main intent and goal is to educate ourselves and the community about how to, you know, live a more peaceful and more socially just existence.
Gotta love that. That's what we're striving for. Looking forward to that in the new year, a little bit of a more just and sane world to call home.
Right.
And Auntie Sandy, I appreciate you calling in to talk story. I know that Remy Catania was going to also give me a shout here to talk story about some other action going on. Go ahead.
Right. Raymond is very involved in the push for fair wages,
mm-hmm.
and is a strong proponent out there for the lifting the minimum wage here. And that's just another aspect of what Kauai Alliance does.
There we go. Working together.
Working together.
It's about relationships, like our mayor
says.
Right. And, Sandy, I appreciate you taking the time to let folks know about the movie Shift Change on Saturday, the 7th of December. It's starting at 6:30.
Starts at 6:30 following the Kahlo Festival across the street at the Waipa Foundation Multipurpose Building.
Terrific. A new building where Akamai Learning is going on, where North Shore Community is gathering to do a variety of good things.
Right.
Saturday night, 6:30, Shift Changes, the movie, right after the Kahlo Fest at Waipa. Thanks so much, Aunt Sandy, for giving us a call, and happy holidays to you and your loved ones.
And thank you, and mahalo nui loa to you, Jimmy, for all you do. You make our island a much more beautiful place.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that. It's a sweet thing to call Kauai home and to have friends and family. Oh, here we go. We got a volunteer running to answer the phones.
All right.
Auntie Sandy, you take care. We'll be in touch.
Absolutely.
See you on happy
Saturday,
holidays.
Hopefully.
Definitely.
Aloha. Aloha.
All right, so we got a phone call coming on up. Go ahead. Aloha caller, you are on the air.
Yeah, hi. This is Raymond Catania.
Our friend Raymond Catania.
Yes. I'm working with Pride at Work.
Uh-huh.
At which is a support group.
Pride at Work.
At the workplace for gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender workers. But we're also concerned about working class people in general, especially women workers and immigrant workers and young workers at the lower end of the pay scale.
Yeah.
And so we're really concerned about that, and we are holding, sign holding, next week, Monday, the 13th, at next week, Friday, the 13th, at the airport intersection, from 4 o'clock to 5:30, putting out there the fight to increase the minimum wage from the present $7.25 an hour to $9.50 an hour. It doesn't sound like much, but it is $2 and you're offering right now. Yes, yeah, so $2.25 more than what they're offering right now. And it's been a pretty difficult struggle because there's a whole number of guys in the legislature that have been balking to increase the minimum wage. Some of them, like Jimmy Tokioka, says that he wants to increase the minimum wage, but yet he wants to increase the tip credit, which is the basic minimum of what tipped workers get. Tipped workers, those that have a lot of tips, their average is $2.13 an hour. That's their minimum. And, if they don't make much tips, that's all they have to fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
But Jimmy wants to cut into that, yeah? And so there are three phases that are being talked about at this point. 2015, the wage going up to $8.25, 2016 January going up to $9, and 2017 January up to $9.50 with no increase in the tip credit. And from what I understand, Abercrombie is for it. The Department of Labor has even come out recently that they're for increasing the minimum wage to $9.50 an hour with no increase in the tip credit. And, of course, the unions that are affiliated with the AFL-CIO and the ILWU. And Private Work is an affiliate of the AFL-CIO. And what we're doing is that we're trying to raise the issue here locally on Kauai about fighting to increase the minimum wage. And this is a very, very important issue for a lot of people, especially those people here in Hawaii,
mm-hmm.
Because the cost of living is ridiculous, right? We all know about that. So, like I said, we are going to be having a sign holding. That's going to be the first of our actions. And that's going to be at the airport intersection next week, Friday, from 4 to 5:30. And if people want more information, they can call myself, Ray Catania, at 634-2737 or Kipukai Kualii at 652-3684. Our Private Work chapter here is just beginning to start. We're beginning to take members. In fact, next week, Monday, the 2nd, at the YWCA, we are having a planning meeting. And anybody's welcome to come. That'll be at 5:30. And people can come and join us for about an hour, hour and a half, where we're going to be planning strategy to fight this issue and educate the people of Kauai on why we should be supporting the lower-wage workers in our community.
There we go. So one more time really quick, Brandon.
Yeah.
The day of the action is next Friday, the 13th?
Friday the 13th from 4 to 5:30 at the intersection at the airport. And people make signs, raise the minimum wage, at the same time, we're going to be having a planning meeting next week, Monday, at YWCA in Lihue. And if people want to join and help out in this cause, there's two phone numbers they can call. They can call Kipukai at 652-3684, and they can call me, Raymond, at 634-2737. I just want to mention recently that workers on the mainland have been going on strike at Walmart. They've even blockaded streets in front of stores. And just recently, in over 100 cities, there were demonstrations in front of McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken and other low-paying places like demanding an increase in the minimum wage. And in the Seattle area, they got an increase to $15 an hour over a period of 3 years because the community was pretty united. So the possibilities are there to get something like this if we stick together and let our politicians know that this is what we want, So far, D. Morikawa supports us. Jimmy Tokioka doesn't support us. We haven't had the official word from Ron Kochi yet or Derek Kawakami. But Private Work will be bringing a resolution to the council soon, the Kauai County Council, so if we can get some support from them.
There we go.
Yeah, thank you for giving me this time.
Raymond, thank you for taking the most of our time to make it a better world and looking for peace, freedom, some justice, and fanning the flames of discontent.
Yeah, that's right. That's what we got to do. And so it was interesting hearing Sandy talk, and I'm also going to be waiting to hear Elizabeth Storch call in your show.
So we will have Isabel Storch on here very shortly to talk a little bit about the county attorney. The opinion that was released and the legal ramifications of that as well. Also, Raymond, just to pass on some good news that the Bill 113 on the Big Island was passed by Big Island Mayor, Hawaii County Mayor. Billy Kanoi did sign Bill 113, signing it into law, which bans new GMO products and GMO crops on the island of Hawaii.
That's so amazing. That's something that Carvalho can learn from.
Well, you know, I mean, this is what, you know, this is what it's all about, is trying to engage, work together, because that's what we got to do. And Raymond, I really appreciate the effort that you put into getting our community working together.
Hey, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you,
Raymond. We'll be catching you later. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Aloha. So, Raymond Catania, if you want to reach him to get more information about Pride at Work, 634-2737, or you can give Kipukai Kualii a phone call at 652-3684. Maybe I'll try to post that on my Facebook page as I get that up and running. It is about 4:40, and I'm... like I said, behind schedule. I am going to play a couple things here and then bring Isabel Storch up on our community radio.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Here we go. A little music to help me ease into the next session here.
Up in the mountain on the west end. My favorite place to go and write music.
Dennis Kamakahi.
Place called Koke'e. Thank you.
By the way, thank you.
Right on, little Dennis Kamakahi, to help us transition there to another segment of this Out of the Box show. Let me see if I get this button. Isabel, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, terrific. Thank you for joining us here on Out of the Box.
Well, it's an honor.
I know I approached you while we were, I think, now I think about it, was it at the market?
Yes, during a wind and rainstorm last Saturday.
And it was I actually there at the county building that I realized that you were the author of a letter to the editor or guest commentary on the county attorney's decision I guess it's the mayor's decision to release the county attorney's opinion regarding the legality of Bill 2491. And in that article, you raised some excellent questions. Will you share with listeners a little bit about your background and what motivated you to take pen to paper and ask these questions in a public forum?
Yes, thank you, Jimmy. I have been a lawyer for over 30 years in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and was a municipal lawyer during that overwhelming period of time for the city of Pittsburgh, as well as other municipalities and school districts. So basically, I was a government lawyer doing a lot of the same things that the county lawyers here do for their client, the county. I have a lot of experience in writing legal opinions on a variety of controversial topics, and so I was really shocked, to put it mildly, when the mayor released the county lawyer's legal opinion, because that's just never happened in my experience.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's a big stamp that we would put on all our memoranda to mayors and council people and other government officials that we would write legal opinions for, and it said confidential attorney-client privilege. And there's a reason for that. The reason being that you just don't want the other side or other sides to have an idea of your thinking process in advising your client as to the pros and cons of a particular issue. And you have an obligation to your client to protect that information. And you are sworn by taking the oath that you take when you become an attorney, to do everything in the best interest of your client.
Mm-hmm.
And all lawyers in every state of the union have to subscribe to some form of that, have to agree to that when they're admitted to the bar of their particular state. So, and clearly, the client can release the legal opinion if the client so chooses, because it becomes his protected, you know, it's his to release if he wants to. But again, I've never heard of a mayor or a council person or anybody releasing a legal opinion. So I just felt that, you know, and because lawyers look at things differently and are held to different standards and have different rules to follow, not everybody understands that. And so I just felt compelled to write about it, because I thought it was reprehensible that was done, given the contentious nature of this legislation and the threats by the chemical companies to sue. And so that just exposed the county in so much more, because it let out a lot of the thinking that the lawyers were doing. Now, having said that, I will say that I don't think it was a very well-written opinion. And having it released to the public, you know, gave me an opportunity to read it and to get a sense of where the county lawyers were coming from. And what my sense was that the county lawyers were coming from advice given to them by the chemical companies.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a very biased opinion, very one-sided when you read it. And I don't want to, you know, I don't want to bore everyone with an analysis of their opinion versus the testimony given by the other lawyers who spoke in support of the bill, because that's, you know, there's a lot of legal analysis going on in that. But, you know, when you read it, you really see that it was written to support the mayor's veto rather than to be an open, honest analysis of the issue. And all lawyers learn in law school. It's just like in debate class that many people go to. You learn both, you know, you research both sides of an argument.
Mm-hmm.
So that if you're asked to argue, you have the information on both sides,
mm-hmm.
and you try to come up with the strongest support for the particular legislation. And in this case, if the strongest case law would have been to support this legislation, then that's what the lawyers should have said. And conversely, if the strongest case law was against it, that's what they should have said. But you still put all that information in your opinion so that your client can read it and understand where you're coming from.
Mm-hmm. And so in some ways it's an objective analysis of...
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And the rules of professional conduct require that. They require that lawyers be objective and that lawyers do the research and represent the facts to their clients with using all their best research abilities. We are required to do that. It's not just a matter of, oh, well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. These lawyers were compelled to do that, and they didn't do that. And I think the public in this county has not been well served by these attorneys at all.
Now, I've got a question in regards to your experience elsewhere. You said you were an attorney for a municipal government in Pennsylvania. Were those governments, or the ones that you're familiar with, did they have a similar situation where we had a legal representative, if you will, serving the mayor as the administration, as well as serving the legislative body like our council?
Oh, yes. In fact, the city of Pittsburgh, and many municipalities there do, but I did work for the city of Pittsburgh the longest, and that has a strong mayor system and a city council.
Mm-hmm.
There's also a county council with a chief executive, but the city has a mayor and a city council, and it has a what we call solicitors, a city solicitor, and the solicitor's office, which had, you know, 12 or 14 lawyers in it, and our job was to represent the city, you know, and that's what people are forgetting. You don't just represent the mayor. Of course, the mayor appoints the attorneys, so the head of the department's job is dependent on, you know, the mayor giving them the job. So there's a little bit of, like, coercion there in a way. If the mayor and the council don't agree on something, the mayor's going to want the city solicitor to write an opinion that favors the way he wants to go.
Mm-hmm.
I understand that. You'd have to be naive, you know, to not understand that that's the way politics operates a lot of times. But that doesn't mean that exempts the attorney from still providing a well-rounded, you know, properly written opinion that lets the mayor know what his various options are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's also one reason why you don't release it, because, you know, it's supposed to be well-rounded and all-inclusive. Now, in Pittsburgh, the city council had an option in the, because it's a home rule as well, had an option to hire their own lawyer if they chose to. And they chose not to. They chose to leave it with the city solicitor's office. And oftentimes there were disagreements. And the solicitor would be asked to come to the table and explain things and, you know, was always being put on the spot, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, as I understand, some of the council people had, requested that the opinion be released here, and then the council voted against it. I think Nadine and Joanne were two of the council members who who initially proposed releasing that opinion, and then they all decided not to. So here you have the county council that opted not to release the opinion, and then the mayor turned around and released the opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And a very interesting thing to me, in the very last meeting when that final vote was taken, you know, people who were present in the room, well, I guess you could hear it wherever you were, but Gary Hoosier asked the mayor during his testimony if he had asked, if he had discussed with the county lawyer whether he should release the opinion and whether, you know, what the pros and cons would be of doing that. And he refused to answer that question. And in fact, when Gary asked the question, the county lawyer asked for a break in order to discuss with the mayor what his answer should be, and obviously promptly told him, don't answer this question. So that makes you wonder what's going on there, because the mayor made a big point of saying, in the interest of transparency, I'm going to release this legal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then why didn't he or the county lawyer explain why they thought it was appropriate to release that opinion? And if it was appropriate to release that opinion.
Right.
So, you know, there's more behind the scenes probably than any of us will ever know.
I was just going to say, and do you think we'll find out what some of that stuff is behind the scenes?
I don't know.
Hard to say. And I guess this is the thing that when I was listening to Councilmember Gary Hoosier question the mayor on who made that decision, was it the lawyer or was it the mayor? Who decided? And I think Bernard, Mayor Carvalho, was suggesting that as the, you know, administrator, the CEO of the county, it was his decision to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really clear in regards to his response as to, was this decision made by you based on sound advice from your legal counsel, or was it because you just felt like you wanted to be transparent all of a sudden?
I would find it hard that the mayor would make a decision like that without consulting with the lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And if he did, he's even more irresponsible than he is by having released it, because he really could put still the county in some jeopardy. Again, as I said, I don't think it's a well-written opinion. I don't think there's a lot in there that would harm the county if a lawsuit is filed, because I think the lawyers already know, what the factors are that
mm-hmm.
will open this bill up to a challenge. But I still think it's the whole concept of having done that, and that it's just not done in regular transaction of county business. And keep in mind, the county lawyers, their client is the county. You know, it's not
an
the
office.
Mayor by himself.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the county council as a body. They, you know, they work for the county, and they're supposed to act in the best interest of the county. And it's the county that's going to get sued on this legislation.
Mm-hmm.
So then they're going to be asked to represent the county in this lawsuit when and if it happens.
Mm-hmm. So, and you just mentioned that the county will be sued. Do you want to make a wager and forecast which county will be sued first, the county of Kauai or the county of Hawaii from the seed industry?
That's a good question. I don't know. I hadn't really been following the bill in Hawaii Island County to see what may happen there, and
mm-hmm.
I guess the mayor has another day or so to vote on it, or I don't know if you've heard if he's...
Actually, so the breaking news today was that Mayor Billy Kanoi of Hawaii Island did sign and pass the bill 113. As Raymond Catania pointed out, that maybe Carvalho has something to learn from the big guy on the Big Island. And I think a lot of people are happy with the results that the
if you will, the people's will was heard. The council decided that they would like to take proactive steps to reduce the likelihood that the Big Island would be overwhelmed or overrun by chemical dependent seed industry. And we'll see what the legal response will be from the it's a conglomerate action by the Hawaii Crop Improvement Association or if it's individual companies that are going to step up.
They may all join in together, you know, and do it as a group effort and pool all their multitude of resources to challenge these. One thing I've noticed that here, I've heard, my daughter told me, that on the west side, since this bill was passed, there has been an increase in the amount of spraying that has occurred, and they've even gone further. They've even extended what they're doing, which is part of the reason that moratorium was such an important part of this bill that got thrown out in 2491.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to speak to that issue because I think that was one of the things I mentioned in my commentary was that the legal opinion addressed two or three issues that were the issues that were only raised because of the amendments that were made to the bill. They didn't speak to the original bill. They spoke to the amended bill. And the council people, Yukimura and Nadine, mm-hmm. who chaired that committee, proposed these amendments, including doing away with the moratorium, the buffer zone issues, and I forget exactly what the third category was. But those were the issues that the lawyers said were very problematic legally. And so he sat in on these committee meetings, and they proposed these amendments, which I think watered down our bill just terribly.
Mm-hmm.
And yet didn't raise the issue that these would be problematic from a legal perspective. So basically it sounded to me like the amended bill was more legally flawed than the original bill
mm-hmm.
would have been. And, you know, this moratorium of, you know, extended growth and use of these pesticides is just doing more and more damage to our island. And I guess on Hawaii Island, they're banning it, but they're leaving the status quo. So they're not allowed to increase, but whoever is there is already there and is permitted to stay, as I understand that legislation. But mm-hmm. still, that's much better than our allowing the continuation of the growth of the GMO industry here. And I think we shouldn't forget that, and we shouldn't forget the council people who worked on that when the next election comes, because they've done a serious disservice to their constituents in this bill, and you could see by that legal opinion that it's almost like they wrote the amendments so that the bill could be legally flawed.
You know, and people have pointed that out. I want to make a comment on that, but before I go there, I want to let folks know that you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, Kauai Community Radio, KAQA Kilauea, KKCR Hanalei, and K284 AL in Hale'iwa. Folks are going to be listening to us here live, 90.9 FM on the North Shore, 92.7 on Ohola, Maloa'a area, 91.9 island-wide mostly, and 104.7 on the FM dial in the beautiful island of Oahu. Streaming worldwide at www.kkcr.org. This is the Get Low Show, and I'm Laura Christine, talking with Isabel Storch, a former county attorney or municipal government attorney who wrote a piece to the Garden Island, questions about the mayor's moves, needs to be answered. Do you think we'll get any answers? I know that Gary Hooser, Councilmember Gary Hooser, was pretty consistent in his questioning, but we didn't get a response. Do you think somehow we'll get down to the bottom of this?
No. No, I think in my former life, I used to work with criminals, and the best criminals always told me never admit to anything, you know. And so I think these these county lawyers are never going to admit. I think the mayor is never going to admit. They're never going to acknowledge what they did or why they did it, and they're just going to continue to stonewall, you know, Mr. Hoosier's questions. It's just like when he asked the chemical companies for answers, and they sat there mute.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that tells you so much by their lack of response, more by their lack of response than had they responded. And I think, you know, sadly, this administration is just as bad. They're just not acting in the best interest of their constituents. And if they were, they would be honest and open about what they did. And, I, you know, lawyers disagree. You know, there's always two or more sides to a story and to an argument and to a case. And so it would be fine with me if they disagreed with my opinion on this and gave an explanation as to why they did what they did. But mm-hmm. they've refused to make public their rationale for what they're doing. So I don't think we'll ever know from them.
Mm. Well, there are so many, if you will, secrets in government that we just won't find out, will we?
No, that's so true.
There we go. Well, Isabel, I really appreciate you joining us here on Out of the Box to talk story about what some people might say is old news, but for me it was fascinating. I really appreciated your article and the questions that you raised to the point of where I asked Councilmember Hoosier, you know, at what point do we, what's the process for us to get to the to get to the bottom of this, where do we find out who gave what opinion, or rather, what was the rationale, or what factors kind of drove that decision to release that information, and who gets to decide that, the if you will, the boss, or is it the one who, if you will, has a little bit more experience and knowledge in that issue?
I would suspect that he doesn't think he'll have any more success at finding out than the rest of us.
There we go. I've got a phone call. Do you want to take a call? Do you got time for one caller?
Oh, sure.
Let's see if we can get this person on. Aloha, caller. You're live on the air with Jimmy Trujillo and Isabel Storch.
Oh, Jimmy, I'm sorry. I'm not calling to talk about what this marvelous attorney is giving us all this useful information about. I wanted to talk about the KIU decision to charge opt-out members.
Oh, well,
but I can call back.
Would you like to call back? Or
sure.
Okay, then Marge will do that. Thanks for calling that. And I know that, listeners, we will be taking phone calls at 826-7771 and 826-7774. But try the 771 number first.
But Jimmy, I would just say one more thing. I would encourage the listeners of this wonderful, wonderful radio station, which I truly admire, and all of you who work for it, to not forget this issue and to not forget what was done and who did it, because we have an election coming up next year. We have to put in the right people who are going to think properly on behalf and act properly on behalf of the citizens of Kauai. So people should not think it's a dead issue now that the bill's been passed and we won't know for 9 months whether, or, you know, or down the line if it's going to be challenged. But people need to stay alert and vote.
Be alert. Yes, so this is definitely true. Isabel, thank you for that parting comment and your mana'o sharing with us. Happy holidays to you and your family, and enjoy, and hope we have good weather at the markets on the upcoming weekend.
Me too. Thank you so much, Jimmy. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. So Isabel Storch calling in from our community, sharing with you listeners about Bill 2491 and some of the legal ramifications of that. I am going to be joined on the phone here shortly, in a few minutes with Jonathan Jay, who is working hard to, in addition to his volunteerism here at Kauai Community Radio, he is helping to organize, if you will, a Vote No campaign on the new fees for KIUC, him and a number of others. You might see it on Facebook, a new icon out there, Vote No, new fees for KIUC. There's an upcoming meeting, I believe it's Monday, coming up in the afternoon, so we'll get some information from Jonathan folks, Andy,
Oh, I'm sorry. Adam Asquith will be joining us as well. So we'll go here first and then get Jonathan Jay up on the phone lines here very shortly. You are listening to Kauai Community Radio. Out of the box, this is Jimmy Trujillo. Tim Kalai just hobbled in, so it's nice to see you, brother. And we'll be in touch about a number of other things as well, besides the Kalo Fest at Waipaw this Saturday, Lights on Rice, find your favorite community group to hang out with, do a walk. Saturday, or rather Friday night, in Niamalu, the Niamalu Canoe Club, by the Kalapaki Jetty, there will be a workshop being put on or hosted by Kapua Sprout, who is the author of Ola I Kawai, a legal primer for water use and management in Hawaii. She will overview the legal and cultural frameworks of our water and outline potential legal handles for those wanting to better protect it. She will also distribute free copies of the primer, which explains all of this in more detail and also includes a CD with relevant laws, court decisions, forms, and other materials, pupus, and informal talk story to follow. So this is Friday, December 6th. From 6 to 8 p.m., so if you want to avoid the madness and mayhem in downtown Lihue on Rice, Lights on Rice Parade, the Niamalu Canoe Club, Hale, there by the Kalapaki Jetty. There is a free community training by Kapua Sprout. She is a Kahuli A'o Center for Excellence in Native Hawaiian Law, and she will be presenting. If you want more information about this, get in touch with Debbie Jackson at 652-4026. Debbie Jackson can also be reached at Huleia Farm. That's Huleiafarme. No E, sorry about that. At gmail.com, 652-4026. Or get in touch with Adam Asquith at 635-8290. Adam Asquith at yahoo.com. We're going to try to get Adam here on the air in a little bit to talk story about a number of things. So with that, taking your way to the beautiful island of Oahu for this one.
that I'm just along for the ride. Some they will cry because they have cried for someone who loves me to die.
There we go. So we got a phone call. Got somebody on the air right now. Aloha, you are joining us here on Kauai Community Radio.
Yes, aloha, Jimmy.
Aloha.
I remember when Live Kauai was singing the Nukali'i blues, and Miss Kunimura was a very good citizen, I thought, and leading the fight against the development of where the Hilton now is.
Yeah, that would be Councilmember Joanne Yukimura you're referring to?
Yes, I am.
Uh-huh.
But I think in this recent brouhaha about the anti-GMO bill, I think Ross and Nadine and Joanne have done a tremendous disservice. Not only were they disingenuous, but they were duplicitous under the guise of quote-unquote due diligence. Number two, I remember back in the 90s, whether you paid taxes or not, you got a $50 food tax, you know, rebate of $50 cash in your hot little hand. Now, all of a sudden, for the last several years, or perhaps decades, there has been no food tax. So in terms of our lower income folk, I think this is really a disservice, and I'd like to have someone, you know, explain to me why it was eliminated. And then the third comment is, I really hope that we can keep pressure on all these heinous GMO corporations to, and use the good services of all these pro bono attorneys to fight the good fight, because I think the present bill was considerably weakened, and these three councilmen I mentioned, I'm not really their big fan, especially when I learned Ross was talking about, oh yeah, his daughter had all these seizures, and then, you know, the guy votes against it. But that's my 2 cents for today.
There you go. Well, thanks for contributing to the discussion on Kauai.
Yeah, and they had they had a really good thing on the Moyer Show at 5 o'clock on Sunday evenings. Last Sunday they had a nice little vignette about the health of the bees.
Mm.
I don't know if you saw that.
No, I
it was really good. Yeah,
Moyers
and Company at 5 o'clock on Sunday.
I'll have to do a little.
I forgot the poet's name. He's written over like 40 books, and he's also a farmer. And so, thanks for the good work, Jimmy.
Well, thank you, and mahalo, happy holidays to you.
You too, man. Bye-bye.
Aloha. And I think we are going to be joined by another phone call coming on up. Aloha, is this Adam on the line?
Yes, it is.
All righty. Thank you, Adam, one of our favorite taro farmers. I invited you to talk story with us to share a little insight as to the, if you will, some of the actions that you and others have embarked on. If you could speak about the issues that you have with the Kauai Island Utility Cooperative and their decision to charge some of us a little bit extra to have our meters read for opting out of the smart meter program.
Yeah, and I don't know, my radio is broken, so I haven't had a chance to hear you guys. So I don't know if Jonathan's on the line and he's kind of explained.
He hasn't. We got a couple other phone callers in, and hopefully we'll be bringing Jonathan into the conversation soon.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'll kind of explain, you know, kind of the history that I have with TIUC and my perspective and kind of what, you know, what we're trying to do now. As most folks know, you know, a year ago when they began the smart meter rollout, I was, you know, and I remain an advocate of smart grid technology and the whole thing. And but it should be voluntary. And when I learned that it was not going to be voluntary, I objected, and they resisted my objection, and I had to take them to federal court, where they relented and signed a stipulation agreement that they would never put a smart meter on my home without my permission.
Mm-hmm.
And in there, so I saw this coming, because in the stipulation, they reserved the right to go back to the PUC and charge me for not having a smart meter. And I reserved the right to take them back to court when that happened.
Thank you.
So here we are. This is a little bit different, because it's not really a federal issue now. The federal issue was the rollout of the smart meters themselves, because they were purchased partly with federal money.
Mm-hmm.
So what this is they went to the PUC, which is a state agency, and asked for and received approval to charge an additional fee to those of us who have rejected the smart meter and want to retain our old meter. So the first course of action logically was to use the tools at hand within the co-op. It's a member-owned co-op, owned and operated by members, usually through election of the board. But we do have other avenues when we find serious objection to a board action. And that one of those actions is to round up signatures of members and call into question the board action and call for special meetings to discuss it and have a vote on that board action.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we've done, and Johnson will tell you a little bit more about the signature gathering and so forth. But we were successful. We've initiated that process. There's going to be a meeting where we can ask CIUC board and staff questions, and then there will be a vote by the members as to whether or not we approve of the board action to levy this charge. That's where we're at. I am pursuing other kind of legal action against the state level. A little surprisingly, it's a little more complicated than the federal level, and I don't really have anything to say yet, although I will share. And it's because, you know, no attorney, just in my case a year ago with the federal system, no local attorney or even in Honolulu wants to provide support for this, because there's no money involved. And so I'll kind of have to go at my own. I was fairly successful in the federal system, and we'll see how I fare in the state system. But basically what I'll be asking for is immediate relief, because the issue is at hand. And what I mean by that is that CIUC is sending out the bills already before the members have even had a chance to vote on the board action. So I'll be seeking kind of immediate relief in the state court to prevent CIUC from continuing to charge us before members have really given them permission to do so.
And was it the November bill was the first bill, or was that the December bill? Just saw mine, and my wife said, wow, our rate just went up.
Yeah,
and then we looked, and it was like, oh, well, that's why.
Yeah, that's the first one I saw, is on my November bill.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and what I'm doing is that I'm simply going to pay the rest of my bill and not pay that, because my opinion is that I haven't given them permission to bill me for that yet.
Yeah, that's a good move.
Yeah. I guess, Tim, you had a question.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering, my brother, did you have an opportunity to see, there was a movie not too long ago that was circulating here on Island.
You guys there?
Yeah, are you there? Can you hear us?
No, I can't hear Tim.
Okay, how about now?
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Okay. I hit the right button there.
Yeah, okay, well, forgive me. Going back to this, I was just wondering, Adam, whether you had an opportunity to see a movie that was being circulated around Island here, and it was called Take Back Your Power?
You know, I didn't see it on Island, but it was on public access, and I watched it, and it was an excellent film.
It is excellent. And the person who actually did the production was on Island, you know, and came and joined us down there. I believe it was at the old Aloha Resort, or whatever is now called the Kauai something. And he was, and boy, if anyone is interested in this, And if you really want to see the impacts of what these meters are doing to you, to educate yourself about it and how it is definitely impacting our lives, not only financially, but in the aspects of, like you said, loss of our civil rights, as well as what it is doing to us on a physical level and how eventually it will be to where they're going to be manipulating us, you know, down the line. You know, telling you when you can, when you can't, all these kind of things. I thought it was phenomenal. And, Marge, if by chance you're out there, Auntie Marge, please, you know, now would be a good time, I think, to chime back in with the discussion. I heard you earlier, you know, wanting to bring something like this up. And if you can maybe also extrapolate a bit more, you know, about this. There, once again, there are a number of people on island that have copies of this CD. You know, and they're circulating this, and they're trying to share it with as many people as they possibly can, once again, to give us and to educate us, you know, the general public, as to what this whole process and everything is about. And, wow, I can only, once again, just put it out to everyone. Please get online, check it out. If not, you know, if your friends have it, sit down. Please take the time, because it is definitely going to affect your future.
There we go. We got a phone call coming in. I'm not sure if that's Jonathan Jay joining us. Adam, I do appreciate the work that you're doing to try to highlight some of the things that are going on here. And it's not just the smart meter technology that some people have concerns about. Some people are concerned about the process that our utility co-op is employing, some of the uncooperative practices in place. Have you been involved with some of the meetings with KIUC management right now?
I have, you know, with myself and Jonathan Jay and Doug Wilmore, who kind of initiated the petition, which was successful. And then as the petition committee, you know, KIC doesn't want to meet with the 400 or 500 people that signed the petition. So we represent those signatories, and we met with them one time. I don't remember the date. Jonathan has got all this in his head, but we met with them initially to discuss the language on the ballot. And if you remember, this is the second time we will have a special meeting and a vote.
Mm-hmm.
First off, it's over the FERC hydro issue, right?
Right.
And if folks remember how that ballot was worded, it was along with the ballot itself was some, you know, I'll call it propaganda, was some information supporting you know, a yes vote in support of the FERC decision. So we worked strongly in that meeting to either have a balanced pro-con statement associated with the ballot, or
mm-hmm.
eliminated entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And to her credit, Carol Bain was at the meeting, and she remembered, you know, what the FERC.
Oh, there we go, Adam. Adam, I'm sorry I did that. I just cut him off. So we made a terrible move there. We've got a song lined up just for the occasion. It goes kind of like this.
Okay, here
we go.
Aloha.
Okay, ocean in the background. Music queuing up. Here's the phone call again. We'll try it one more time. Aloha, you're on the air.
Yep, this is Adam.
Adam, thank you so much. I
sit on the board there and press the keys.
Yeah, upside down. My slick, backstick, big fat thumb got in the way.
So anyway, I was explaining that we did meet with them, and Carol Bain supported the idea of not having any justification for voting yes or no on the ballot, so it's just going to be kind of straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Do you support the board action of levying an additional fee or not, yes or no?
Mm-hmm.
So, which, you know, I think is better than it could have been, and better than what KIC walked in with.
So are we, if you will, are we learning from our previous experiences?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is absolutely we are. And I think we're the co-op is better for it every time we go through this.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't, you know, I know there's been some discussion about, you know, the cost of the election and that in addition to being cost causers for rejecting the smart meters, now we're cost causers for forcing a $50,000 election. But you know what? That democracy is not cheap. It comes with a cost, and we should embrace it because it would be a lot cheaper to have a dictator. But I don't think that's what any of us truly want.
That
wouldn't be so cooperative. So we should embrace the co-op principles and the procedures that allow us to engage and vote democratically on these really important issues.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. That's the, if you will, the issue that I have in this right now. Adam, do you have time to take maybe a phone call? We've got somebody.
Sure.
Okay, thanks for holding. Aloha caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hi, it's Marge again.
Thank you, Marge, for calling back. And sorry for cutting you off.
No problem. I'm so glad that Adam is there, and thank you, Adam, for going ahead with with this process. And I'm really, really disturbed that no local attorney will take our case. I have been attending meetings since before August of 2011 on a regular basis. I have minutes up to Gazoo that I have taken. And I'm sorry, but the KIUC is just bending over backwards to go against many, many, many times they have said that members would have a chance to speak to the issue of the opt-out fee. Even David Bissell said that the cost to read the smart meters will be subsidized by all members. And that was said back on July 26, 2012. Since I go to these meetings every single time, I have brought up, when are we going to discuss the opt-out fee? And I have always been guaranteed or not answered at all. Usually when Chairman Phil Kupien was the chair, he would never answer anyone's questions at all at any board meeting. And more recently, with Alan Smith as the chair, I have him quoted as saying, I continue to be more open and candid. I can work with diverse opinions. And that's not true either. So because I go to all these meetings and I ask basically the same question, when are we going to get members' opinion and testimony on this issue, they have just passed me off, always with the comment, oh, don't worry, Marge, you'll get a chance. All the members will get a chance to respond. Well, guess what they did? September 30th of this year, the chair called a special meeting of the board in 24-hour notice for October 1st to decide the issue of the opt-out fee. They posted a notice on the door, 8.5 by 11 piece of paper. That was the notification to the membership. Did any member attend? Of course not. We knew nothing of this. They approved that $10.27 a month fee at that meeting with no input from the members. So they have lied to us consistently, and that is why I have twice at a board meeting called for the resignation of the CEO, David Bissell. And that's what I think needs to happen.
Marge, got a question for you from one of our listeners.
You know, Auntie Marge, about this, by chance, do you happen to know who or where you can possibly get a copy of that movie, Take Back Your Power? I know I've seen you there, you know, when they had the showing.
I would contact P2P, and it's also available on YouTube. You can go to the Internet and just type in Take Back Your Power, and it will come up. I'm sure they've said that at the meeting.
Correct. Okay.
But I don't know where you can get an actual disc. But the people who presented that, what are they called? Sorry, Paradise, something. But I'm sure P2P could be contacted and they would have an answer as to where to get an actual disc.
P2P being Power to the People.
Yeah.
That's a website, p2pkauai.org, I believe. Anything else, Tim?
Well, and I was also wondering, this weekend, is Fred and the folks that he's affiliated with showing a movie in conjunction with, you know, the cooperatives?
The Shift Change is the movie.
Right,
and,
correct.
And, that's going to be at 6:30 at the Waipaw.
So that will be taking place
right
after
the
Color
Festival.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, that's on this Saturday.
You know, and please.
It's an excellent movie.
It is, and once again, just to piggyback on what, you know, Adam was saying here about how cooperatives are really a vital, you know, way of we at the people of empowering ourselves in our communities, you know, to do the right thing and not necessarily just abiding only by the corporate structure.
Yeah, there's a long history of the smart meter, and I'm digging into it. It apparently started back in 2009 when the feds put out the notice to all electric companies across the United States that funds could become available and for the smart grid, or the AMI. And so the KIUC decided to put in a grant or a bid for two things, the AMI, the smart grid phones, or meters. The other thing they put in a bid for was batteries to operate the solar systems. And they lost that bid, but they got the bid, they got the grant for the smart meters. And then it wasn't until 2010, and I have a brochure put out by KIUC at their annual meeting in 2010, which is the first indication that I ever had of anything like this happening in this community. So, and then when they got the money, then they started to discuss whether or not they were going to take the money and go ahead and buy the smart meters. I am still looking for the minutes of those meetings, and because that's critical. I'm sure no one from the membership attended any of those meetings, and if they did, it would not be noticed in the minutes. It's only recently, because I have pretty much demanded it at board meetings, that not only the number of members be indicated as to who attends those public board meetings, but I want to know who is giving testimony, and that is finally showing up in the minutes of the meeting, thanks to Puna, the secretary. She's doing a good job.
Terrific. Tim, you got something there?
You know, and not to break up this conversation, because to us it's vitally important, you know, with what's happening on the island, but we did have an urgent call from somebody who has lost their little brown dog in the Kilauea area. It has a red collar, no tags on the collar, though. The person's name is Sandy, and if you can please contact her if you happen to see it or have the dog, it's at 634-7848. Sandy at 634-7848. A little brown dog. Thank you so much, folks, on that.
There you
and
go.
Sorry
helping
for
out in the community. We've got Adam Asquith, who is helping to lead a membership petition and a membership drive to reverse the decision that our utility co-op board of directors took, initiating a fee for the reading of the analog meters. Marge Dente, community activist, organizer, a longtime KKCR supporter, one of the founding members of this radio station, if you will, a critic of our cooperative. Both of you guys, what do you think in regards to this election, this vote? How do you see this playing out in the next couple of weeks?
Well, I'm very glad to hear that there's going to be no insertion into the ballot with pros or cons. I think Carol really, who is a board member, really went to base for us on that, because they had a terrible fiasco when the hydro vote went before the public, because it was very opinionated in the favor of KIUC. So that's a good thing. However, what that means is all of us have got to get out there and really educate people about what this is all about, and that's critical. That is so critical. So, you know, a lot of people are complaining, but I don't see too many people coming to the board meetings. I've been there by myself for 3 years or more, and a lone voice most of the time, and yet I hear a lot of complaints in the community. We all have to walk our talk, and we have to do it whenever we have a chance at a party or standing in line in a checkout you know, that are long lines these days because of the holidays. Let's get involved in a discussion. Do you know that you're going to be asked to vote? Do you know what the vote is about? Do you know how you're going to vote and why? Let's just put it right eye to eye, face to face to everybody in this community.
Thank you. Go ahead, Adam.
I really support that, Marge. In fact, I hope that this call and this show is just the beginning of several venues we have to discuss this upcoming vote, because if people think that this is about smart meters, they're wrong. I believe that this is about the breakdown of our cooperative. I believe that the people that have signed this petition have their finger in the hole in the dike, because if people need to look at the history of rural electric cooperatives. The reason that they were even created was that the last guy in the last western county in Oklahoma couldn't possibly pay for the infrastructure to be delivered and maintained to his farm. They had to create co-ops so that everybody could share the cost of that of the delivery of power to rural people. It was very different than urban delivery and maintenance of electricity. So the guy in the westernmost county of Oklahoma was being subsidized by people closest to the power generation. Always has been, always will be. That's the nature of rural electric co-ops. What they have done with the smart meters is unilaterally singled out a group of users to charge them special fees that have never, and it's never been done before. And are you guys still there?
Yep, we're still here.
I'm on the monologue.
No, there you go. Well, we gave Marge her chance, now it's yours.
Okay, so the smart meters is just the first step in that, because what they will be able to do with smart meters is begin charging time of use rates, which means that if electricity is cheaper, and it will be, at 12 o'clock noon on a nice sunny day when we have
all the solar on,
we're generating power at 10 cents a kilowatt hour. If you are able to be at home and run your washing machine, it will cost you less. If you work three jobs and you get home at 6 o'clock and the kids are screaming and you throw in a load of laundry and you're using their diesel-fired generators in Port Allen, you'll be charged more. And so that is the breakdown of the cost sharing that is historically and culturally part of rural electric co-ops. This is the beginning of the crack in the wall.
Aye. Well,
I have a question for Adam. I know that you took your first case to the federal court. At that time, I remember your argument was that it was against some amendment on the United States, and I can't remember which one. Is it the Fourth Amendment?
Both Fourth Amendment, privacy, and then the amendment that protects occupation of a home, because they're placing these on your homes in their monitoring devices, and so it's a form of occupation.
Okay.
And KIUC, if you look at the transcripts of that hearing, are available online, and if you look in there, KIUC's attorney at that time, Proudfoot, admitted that there's a legal privacy issue to the smart meter, which is probably the reason they didn't proceed.
Okay, that's good information.
Yeah, and so that's going to be the basis for my state lawsuit, is that they admitted that there's a privacy issue.
Okay, so we can certainly bring that up on Monday when we all get there. So everybody, please come to that meeting. It's been conveniently called for 5 o'clock on Monday evening. There's another one on December the 17th, which I believe is a Tuesday, same time, same place. So the December 9th meeting is for testimony from anybody who can give it. And the meeting on the 17th is to frame the actual wording that's going to go on the ballot, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Adam?
That's correct.
Okay, great.
Yep.
Well, terrific. I really appreciate you, Marge, and Adam, taking the time to talk story with our listeners and with Tim and myself, getting us a little bit more informed and educated about the issues with this decision by the Board of Directors to initiate levy a fee for those individuals that chose to opt out of the smart meter program. Thanks again for joining us. We're going to have Jonathan Jay join us here.
Really, thank you, both of you, for doing what you do.
Yeah, thank you, and thank you, Jimmy, for your program, and thank you, Tim, for being the phone conversation nice.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, aloha, we go.
Aloha.
Aloha.
And I want to let you know that you are listening to Quiet Community Radio, the station that loves you. I got a couple things I need to play here, and then we're going to bring up our volunteer and rabble-rouser, Jonathan Jay, here shortly.
Yeah, this is the world's smartest man, and I listen to the Acoustic Luau on Thursday evenings from 6 to 8. You'd be smart to do it, too.
There we go. I'm right here in the last 15 minutes, saving the best for the last. I've got to do this because I forgot to do it earlier. But, you know, this out-of-the-box program is made possible by the good folks at Julio's Burritos, Yee Corporation, and Aya's Garden Supply. Jonathan, hang in there.
Julio's Beach Burritos, ready-to-roll breakfast burritos with bacon, chorizo, eggs, potatoes, and machaca. Between mile marker 21 and 22 off of Wailapa Road in Kilauea. Now open at 7 a.m. Tuesday through Friday. Julio's Beach Burritos.
Yee Corp and Associates, providing personalized employee benefits and insurance solutions since 1988. A green company in an orange building. 808-245-5384. On the web at yeecorp.com.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Woohoo! Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. We got our last 15 minutes. Mo's just stepped through the door. We got the Acoustic Luau coming up at 6 o'clock, followed by Uncle Slim and his Mystery Train, and later on PC's PC's Brew is coming on for the end of the day wrap up. And again, this holiday season, wishing you all peace, harmony, happiness throughout the world. We got Jonathan Jay, instigator, agitator, and a hell of a good guy. Jonathan, are you there?
Hey, I'm right here.
All right, on. Thanks. I don't mean to insult you or anything like that when I call you an instigator, an agitator. I mean that in a loving and respectful way.
I think so, but I don't think I'm a rabble rouser because I don't think there's a lot of rabble here on Kauai to rouse. I'm just trying to do good work and get out the word, and whoever feels so called to respond, well then, amen to that, brothers and sisters.
There you go. So you got a chance to listen a little bit of Adam's description of where we're at. Marge Dente, who has been kind of keeping her finger on the pulse for a while now.
She sure has.
What's your read on this, my friend?
Well, I think what we've got is an election coming up, and it's one that's real important that we win because, as Adam was saying, this is not, if you think this is about smart meters, then you're missing the boat, because really this is about the heart and soul of what kind of co-op we want to have here on the island. We want to have one that's focused on top-down management of the people, always trying to get them to do stuff in sort of a heavy-handed, strong-arm kind of way?
Mm-hmm.
Or are we going to have a kinder, gentler cooperative that's cooperative with us instead of a KIUC, a KI, Kauai Island uncooperative?
They like ride with us or collide with us?
Yeah, I mean, what's up with that?
That's I'm not
just
sure.
Like, there's just no call for that. You know, we're a small island community. We're all in this together. Lokahi, that's the Hawaiian word for the spirit of togetherness and working in harmony with each other. And there's no reason why we can't do that. So let's get a little bit more aloha from KIEC management.
And I mean, I think it's there. I'm not sure if it's just misdirected or if there's just some disconnects. You know, many folks would suggest that the business model is similar or hasn't evolved towards the cooperative side. It's still looking at that bottom line figure of the citizens electric or the Kauai electric days, that we haven't moved in that direction where there is the democratic principles and the cooperative principles in place.
Well, I think that what Marge was saying about people not attending the meetings and not being engaged and not plugging into the co-op, it's kind of true. You know, we have to take some responsibility onto ourselves to engage with the co-op and to, you know, help it, or in case maybe force it to become the co-op that we want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have to work together on this. And so, you know, I think that people have been paying attention to other things. There's a lot of other issues on the table on our tiny island, but this is an important one as well. And so people need to pay attention and plug in. And that's how we're going to get a better co-op.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that whole wake up, wise up, and rise up motto certainly applies in this case as well.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it's the same thing too, because when you when you're not plugged in, when you're not paying attention, when you're not sitting at the table, decisions are going to get made not in your interest, and that's just the way that it is. So people have got to wake up, they got to wise up, and they got to rise up, and it's more than just something that rhymes or looks good on the back of a t-shirt. It's the real deal.
It's the real deal. And Jonathan, you're putting in extra efforts to try to organize a petition, try to arrange for some meetings. Tell us what is the latest in regards to the wording on the ballot. We've talked a little bit about that, but what have that, those meetings kind of been like, and how do you feel the sense from board and management in regards to accommodating the petitioners?
Well, you know, I think that the board has learned a lot since the FERC debacle a couple of years ago. You know, the way that election was run was really quite terrible, totally biased, filled with one-sided propaganda, and then the rest of the membership was shut out of the process. I don't know how things are going to go this time around, but already KIUC has backed off of some of the things they did last time, like including ballot information that's totally biased and one-sided. You know, this time we're just going to have a ballot that just asks the question itself properly. You know, do you want to support what the board said or not? And I've got the ballot language in front of me right here. It says this. This ballot allows members of Kauai Island Utility Cooperative to approve or reject an action by KIUC Board of Directors. On October 1st, the Board of Directors voted to charge service fees to those customers who chose not to use KIUC's smart meter. As a member of KIUC, do you approve of that board action, yes or no? That's pretty clean. That's pretty simple. It's pretty straightforward. You're either for the new fees or you're against the new fees. And so if you vote yes, you want to support those new fees. And if you vote no, you want to reject those new fees. And I'm happy to say that the meeting that we had with KIUC Board of Directors was very, we got along pretty well. It was harmonious. It wasn't a lot of acrimony. We just kind of sat down, took care of business, and very mutually respectful. And I was very appreciative of that.
Who was there representing board and management?
Representing KIC was Carol Bain, Cal Murashiga, and Karen Baldwin, three of the directors from the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
And then on representing the petitioners was Adam Asquith, myself, and Douglas Wilmore, who's a doctor, lives in the North Shore.
There we go. Jonathan, we have a caller. Are you willing to take a phone call?
Sure.
There we go. Caller, we're going to bring you on up. Caller, are you still there?
Yeah, yeah.
All righty.
I just appreciate the power is on. I'm cooking my dinner, and I'm tired of hearing all this KIUC bashing smart meter stuff. I'm cool with it. I really am. I mean, I don't see the big deal, and that's my opinion.
There you go. Well, thanks for sharing your opinion. Appreciate that, taking time out of your dinner time to give us a call. Here we go. So we got My phone guy is making the phone calls. Here we go. We got other phone calls, other opinions to be shared on the air. Here we go. You're on the air.
I'm back.
I guess so.
Okay. Was there a question? Because I didn't hear the question at all.
No, there was just an opinion shared by someone who was cooking dinner and was appreciative of the power on and the fact that he's all right with smart meters and doesn't really appreciate the board bashing or the KIU smashing, and you know, he's all good with it.
Well, I have nothing but good things to say about the men and women who keep the lights on this island, you know, and hallelujah to them. Because that's one of the things that keeps civilization going here. And, you know, the linemen and the line women and the people who work in the offices there, they do a great job. I don't have a beef with any of them about KIC and the way that they're physically making the lights stay on.
Mm-hmm.
What my concern is the top of the management, the way the CEO seems to want to run the company as if it was his own private corporation, and doesn't want to seem to be held accountable to the membership. And an example of that is with this whole election that we're having. You know, the board took an action and said, hey, we're going to impose these fees, and then KIC immediately went and began to do that. Well, we had a petition that was successful, that we operated within the bylaws of the law. We followed all the rules and regulations, and we called that question, called that action into question. Well, as soon as that was no longer the
hey, Jonathan, I don't know if you're walking around, but you're going in and out of your coverage zone.
No, I'm just sitting here on doing the best I can with my phone.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, what I was going to say is the fees should have been stopped being charged as soon as we had a special election, because fees when been even approved by the membership yet. That just doesn't make any sense. And David Bissell seems to have a go-it-alone kind of a my way of the highway kind of an attitude. So I don't understand that. That's real confusing to me.
Well, maybe we can David Bissell join us here on Out of the Box one of these afternoons. When is this election going to be, Jonathan, for folks just stepping into the conversation?
You know, we haven't heard back from KIC when that is, and this election will take place at their sole discretion. They get to be the ones who choose the when and the how that it happens. What we've been told so far is it'll be sometime in late January, probably. But we're still looking forward to getting dates from KIC.
Mm-hmm. And there's some upcoming meetings coming up?
Yeah, the upcoming meeting is going to be, as Marge said, on December 9th.
That's this Monday.
Next Monday, and it's going to be at KIC headquarters, which is 4463 8th Street. It's kind of behind Home Depot over there in Cocuy Grove. And we're hoping that people will go to that meeting and testify. And one of the things that we're hoping that people will let KIC know is that right now the ballot language, although it's very clean and simple, doesn't include the fees of what they are. It doesn't say what the fees are. I don't think it makes a lot of sense to have people, if they want to vote yes or no on the fees, if they're not being told what the fees are. And the fees range from $50 up to almost $140 for business accounts, and then $10.27 a month reoccurring for all of the accounts that don't have smart meters. And I'd like to see that information on there on the ballot. And I think that makes good sense. I'm hoping that the community will support that.
There we go. I do believe we've got a phone call. We're going to try to squeeze it in. We got the last 4 minutes of the Out of the Box show. Jonathan Jay joining us. Jonathan, you'll be here next week. You got a topic that you're going to be talking about?
Yeah, I don't know what it'll be. We'll probably talk a little bit about Nelson Mandela. That's maybe you heard, but he passed away recently, and that was real sad.
Mm-hmm.
We may be reviewing his life and times a little bit.
There we go. And we go ahead, Tim, punch a button. We'll bring him on up. Caller, you are there on the... on the air with Tim Kalai, Jimmy Trujillo, Jonathan Jay.
Aloha.
Aloha.
Well, I just wanted to address a little bit with the last caller before Jonathan was just talking.
Good, good. We only have a couple minutes, too. So.
Yeah, happy that he has power and he's sick of KIUC and complaining. But we pay the highest power rates in the entire United States. And, I mean, some people can't afford to have power, and I want to find out exactly if they're going to use like what time people that have to work all day long are using power, as opposed to the other with the smart meters. It has a whole lot more to do than just with the radiation and all the privacy issues. It's basically screwing the little guy, right? So I think it's a bigger picture, and I hope more people get involved.
Well, thank you. I'm sure Jonathan, go ahead and comment to that, and then we're going to wrap her up.
Well, what she's talking about is time of day rate is charged different rates for the electricity at different times of the day. And during the daytime when the sun is shining, the power will be cheaper. And during the nighttime when they've got to burn diesel generators to make the electricity, the power is going to be more expensive. And that's fine if you have a schedule filled with leisure and you can choose when you want to, you know, do certain things like wash your clothes or take a shower. But if you're a blue-collar working fella or woman, you can only get home when you get home and take your shower then. So what we really need to do is focus on reducing demand and getting solar hot water heaters on all the houses on the island, because that's what the number one thing that we can do is help people cut their electric rate, cut their electric bill.
Well, Jonathan, that's a worthy goal for us, and something that hopefully with an engaged membership we'll see those results happening. We are at the top of the hour, and you are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. The Kusagluau will be joining us here shortly. I'm going to let you go with this one. Jonathan Jay, thanks so much for joining us, and you'll be here in the booth with Dave Giroux next week on Out of the Box. We got a little music to take us into the acoustic luau. You all take care. Have a happy holiday. Be safe out there. See you at the Waipaw Festival. That'll be coming up this Saturday. See you in Waipaw. Thanks so much for joining us here on Out of the Box. Mose, I'm out of here. Thanks for holding it down for the evening time. Sorry it went a little bit over.
It is now and forever to raise our voices, hold your banner.